discussions or Bible courses, so he's a favorite. He's one of our most popular teachers. Please welcome him now.
But I was told I have to stay here, so I'll stay here, all right? First of all, this testimony is not about me. It is about the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done for me. Also, I need to warn you that this will probably be one of the strangest testimonies you've ever heard, but as Dean Smith says, what else could we expect from you, Hoffman? So, I also need to tell you that stand before you right now, I am a medical miracle. Doctors have no explanation as to why I'm still alive today. You'll find that out in a few brief moments. Let's take the story, age 28. I was an atheist. I was working on my doctoral in psychology at Purdue University. And I was also teaching a class on Freudian psychology. And after giving my typical brilliant yet humble lecture on Freudian psychology, one co-ed came up to me after class and said, "Mr. Hoffman, I'd like you to see what God's word has to say about what you're teaching us." I remember my exact words. I took her Bible and I said, "Get that garbage away from me." Things were to change very quickly. That summer, I came home for about a month to help my widowed mother here in the burg. But one day, I said, "You know, I'm not feeling very well. I'm going to lie down, and would you call me for dinner?" They called me for dinner, and I said, "I am really sick." I no sooner said that, and I'm going to try to keep this because I realize some of you are going to lunch, I started vomiting blood. They rushed me to Allegheny General Hospital in Pittsburgh, and the doctors there said I had 5 aneurysms. Aneurysms are weak spots or bubbles on your veins or arteries. If they burst, it's all over. I had 2 on my aorta, your main artery to your heart. I had 3 somewhere else. In addition, the spleen that filters your blood, mine was about 4 times the normal size, ready to explode. And then, I'll probably get fired for this, I had varicose veins in my throat. And if you don't know what varicose veins are, if you ever go to the beach and see someone like Dr. Smith, and they're wearing shorts, they got these ugly veins, and that's what I had, all right? Had to get that in, Dane. All right? The doctors told me, if they don't operate, I am going to die. If they operate, I'm probably going to die anyhow, but they cannot stand by and do nothing. My brother, who was a Christian at the time, came in and said, "Ken, I want to do two things. I want to pray for your life, but I also want you to pray to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior." And I said this. I said, "Bob, I've been an atheist all my life. I will not compound it by being a hypocrite." I went into surgery. I was there for 14 hours. They did all sorts of experimental techniques to me. I survived that surgery. Remember what the passage Dr. Smith read? "I will have mercy and compassion on whom I want to." If I would have been the Lord, I would have said, "Hoffman, you jerk. You refuse to accept me as your personal Lord and Savior. You are going to die in that operating table, and you're going to spend the rest of eternity in hell." I made it through surgery. I'm written up in medical textbooks. Notice I said medical, not mental textbooks. But I still wasn't a Christian. I thought, well, I'll start to clean up my act, and I won't do this, and I won't do that. But to show you how the Lord works, I had this nurse who, and Dean said, is my wife going to be here? I'm glad she's not, because you're not here, are you, honey? This nurse, boy, was she good looking. On a scale of 0 to 100, this nurse was 105. I mean, she was a looker, folks. I also found out she was very immoral. At that time, she had dated, true story, half the Pittsburgh Steelers football team. But I bring this up to show you how the Lord works. She came into my hospital room and said, Mr. Hoffman, would you like this? And it was a little pocket Gideon Bible. And I said, sure, I'll take it. I started reading that Bible from the back. If you're familiar with Gideon Bibles, you'll know that the inside back cover is the plan of salvation. That you are a sinner, scripture verse. Need to have your sins forgiven, scripture verse. Only Jesus Christ can forgive your sins, scripture verse. You need to ask Christ to forgive your sins, scripture verse. And all I can say is, it was like at one point I am in a room of total darkness, and the next moment, everything made sense. I realized it was the working of God's Holy Spirit. I became a Christian. Then, the Lord calls me to seminary. And I said, Lord, this has got to be a joke. I'm only 6 months removed from being an atheist. First week in seminary, student stands up and says, I'm going to preach from the book of Ruth. Dead silence in the seminary chapel except one student fumbling through the pages trying to find the book of Ruth. Everybody was staring at me. I just opened the book of Psalms and let it lay. I said, Lord, this has got to be some kind of colossal joke or hoax. I don't belong here. Well, for the next 3 years, actually four, I made my seminary career into 4 years, I was treading water. I was competing with students who had grown up in Christian homes, going to Christian schools, Christian colleges, and I'll tell you right now, I did not want to be a pastor. I took matters into my own hand. I don't think Dr. Smith knows about this. Last semester, Hebrew exam. I cheated that exam. Deliberately turned myself into the seminary professor, hoping they would kick me out of seminary. They didn't. I flunked the exam, but I graduated. In my first pastorate, they knew I needed additional training. They sent me down to St. Stephen's Episcopal Church in Swickley to take the evangelism training seminar. I did that, came back. 2 days later, one of my parishioners said, my brother is dying in the hospital. Would you please go and witness to him? Folks, I didn't want to go. I was scared. There were many reasons why I didn't want to go. I went only because she was persistent. Her brother, I can use the name, Robert White, was in the East Liverpool City Hospital. That is such a tiny hospital. But I went there, and the reason I tell you it's a tiny hospital is, her brother, Robert White, was in an intensive care unit. And so I went to the hospital and I said, I'm here to see Robert White. And they said, yes, he's in cubicle 10. I go into cubicle 10 to witness and talk to Robert White. And I'm trying to procrastinate because I don't want to do this. I'm making small talk. And the longer I talk, the stranger looks this guy gives me. Like, are you out of your mind, mister? And I finally said, well, your sister Lorna sent me down to see you. At that point, he looks at me and says, I don't have a sister. I don't know anybody by the name of Lorna. Do you know, in God's providence, in that tiny little hospital, there are not only two Robert Whites, but two Robert Whites in the intensive care unit. I was in the wrong room. At that point, I was so embarrassed, I just wanted to run out, get in my car, and go home. Something made me stay. I realized it was God's Holy Spirit. And in the course of that time, the Lord used me to bring that Robert White to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And when I was ready to leave the room, this gentleman said to me, I firmly believe that God allowed this mix-up to happen because he knew that I needed to talk to someone. Now, the reason I tell you this story, there's a lesson involved here. God wants your availability, not your ability. Let me repeat that, because I didn't know what I was doing, not even wet behind the ears. God wants your availability, not your ability. All right, let's move on to 1990. I'm at home, wake up, sick, try to make it to the bathroom. I didn't. I'm bleeding internally again, okay? They call 911, they get there, and my blood pressure was 60 over 40. I'm told that's close to being dead. They take me up to the medical center. Now, I'm unconscious. They take me up to the medical center. The medical center doctors wanted to do emergency exploratory surgery on me to find out where I was bleeding. If they would have done that, I would have been dead. Now, I'm unconscious. The Lord allows me to regain my consciousness long enough to say, transfer me to Allegheny General Hospital. They did. They didn't want me dying on them, okay? So they put me in a helicopter, was unconscious, missed the only helicopter ride I've ever had in my life, take me to Allegheny General Hospital. And then by the afternoon, they had me stabilized. They moved me to a regular room the next day. Enter nurse number two. Now, don't get too excited here, guys, but I need to explain something. I firmly believe that Scripture says you cannot lose your salvation. But Satan will try to get in there and mess you up. And so I'm in a regular hospital room. And Satan starts saying to me, you're going to die here. You're never going to see your wife again. Never going to see your four-year-old daughter again. She's not going to remember you. All of a sudden, enter nurse number two. She comes in. And out of the clear blue, she says, do you want me to pray with you? And I says, oh, please. She comes and she lays hands on me and starts praying in tongues. Now, I'm an RP pastor. Those things aren't supposed to happen to the frozen chosen, the RPs, all right? But as soon as she did that, that peace that passes all understanding that Jesus talks about came upon me. Fell asleep. The next morning, I asked one of the nurses, could you please tell me the name of the nurse who was in here last night? Because I'd like to thank her. And she says, well, describe her to me. And I described her to her. And she says, all right. She didn't come back for half an hour. When she came back with the chief of the nursing staff. And she said, would you please describe this nurse for us one more time? Janetta Brown, are you here? JB, are you here? It looks like Janetta Brown. And that's how I described this lady. And they said, we don't know how to tell you this, but there was no one working last night that was of Afro-American descent. In fact, in this huge hospital, Allegheny General, there was no Afro-American nurse working. They looked at me like I was crazy. But you know what that was? That was an angel. Scripture talks about how angels are God's ministering saints to his people. We'll move up to last May. So you're supposed to tell me how much time I have here? 2 minutes? 3 minutes. Okay, I'll talk real fast. Okay. Okay. I was having some minor health problems, again, last semester in March. And the doctors told me that if you ever bleed from point A or point B, instantaneous death. That was in March. In May, I couldn't give my last final exam. I was home. I was sick. And once again, I started to bleed. My wife came running up to the bedroom, and she said, honey, it looked like somebody took a shotgun to your chest. I mean, there was just blood all over the place. But you know something? When the medic rescue came, my blood pressure was normal. I had stopped bleeding. Excuse me, doctors, I thought I was supposed to instantaneously bleed to death. They don't have an explanation for that. I do. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. 6 days after that, well, I was able to literally crawl to my daughter's graduation here from Geneva. 2 weeks later, I was able to preach the morning service, the church I pastor, and the joint evening service for the four area RP churches. I should not be alive today, folks. I have so many medical problems that I should not be alive. People have asked me, well, what about your future? I do not know what the future holds, but I do know who holds the future. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. The same one who inspired the prophet Jeremiah to write to the Babylonian captives, for I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. It's been said that the future is as bright as the promises of God. To that I say, amen. But I am an example of one who the Lord has had a great deal of mercy and compassion upon. And I praise him and thank him for that. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we do want to thank you that you are a good God, that you have been good to your children. You have given us the greatest gift of all, salvation and eternal life through your precious Son, Jesus Christ. We praise you and thank you for that. The God of compassion and mercy.